Ben, you fill your shalayim? Data was generated 40 years ago. And after the celebration of your shalayim here in Los Angeles, the RZLA had a beautiful suda, and they brought out a superstar to speak, and that superstar we are privileged to have with us this morning, Rabbi Shalom Gold, who agreed to give up of his valuable time to come and address us today. Rabbi Gold is the founding rabbi to Yehuda Zichron Yosef, which is the young Israel of Harnoch. He's a dean and lecturer at the Avraham Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. A member of the executive of Yichud HaRabbanim, which is an organization dedicated to the preservation of Eretz Yisrael. As well, Rabbi Gold is the founder of Near Israel Yeshiva College of Toronto. And it is a tremendous privilege to have Rabbi Gold here with us today. And his topic is Teddy Roosevelt and Israel. If you can think about who Teddy Roosevelt is. And without further ado, Rabbi Gold.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Furman. It was worthwhile coming 10,000 miles just to be able to add superstar to my time. I'm going to tell my wife as soon as she gets here. I'm going to tell her she's married to a superstar. It took her a lot of years, but finally she made it. There is a story about the Six-Day War, a story about Chof Chet Iyar Yom Yerushalayim that has haunted me since I read the story about 30 years ago. And it still haunts me now. The story is the following. It's brought by Rabbi Abraham Rabinovich in his description of the battle for Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. The early morning hours of the 28th day of Iyar in 1967, Israeli troops make their way into the old city of Yerushalayim, a city that had been fought for over 1900 years, had not been under Jewish sovereignty. Everybody wanted to take it from us. And then finally that morning, Israeli soldiers break into the city, and about 10 o'clock in the morning, with a great deal of the resistance already over, they attempt to make their way to the Kotel. But these are 19, 20-year-old soldiers. They have never been at the Kotel in their lives. Between 1948 and 1967, no Jew was permitted into the old city. So as they're making their way through the alleyways, and by the way, there was no open plaza in front of the Kotel. It was all little streets and alleyways. All of that came down right after the Six-Day War. Anyway, they're making their way through the alleyways of the old city, and they see a frightened young man standing inside a doorway of a building. They approach him and they assure him that they mean no harm. All that they want to know is, how do we get to the wall? So he points the way. And he stands there in that doorway, watching as Israeli soldiers make their way to the Kotel, make their way up to the Har HaBayit. He's standing there and he sees how they raise the flag, the Israeli flag, over the Temple Mount. Abraham Rabinovich ends the story by saying, who was this young man? This young man was called Mahmud Daoud Schleifer, a New York-born Jew, Mark David Schleifer, converted to Islam, married a Jordanian girl, was working for a newspaper in the old city. And the last sentence is the sentence that just struck me and it depresses and haunts me. Ad hayom hazeh. What a strange witness to the greatest moment in 2,000 years of Jewish history. Here is Mahmud Daoud Schleifer, Mark David Schleifer, by his bris, they most probably call him Mordechai David, and he watches this greatest moment in Jewish history, and he doesn't appreciate it. He doesn't understand it. It means nothing. He's alienated. He's gone. He has stepped out of the Jewish people. It means nothing to him. What a profound tragedy. He bears witness, and not only has he borne witness to this great moment in Jewish history, he assisted it. He helped it take place. He pointed the way. And he stands there, a blank. Doesn't understand a thing. Why does the story haunt me? Not only because of Mark David Schleifer. Is it possible that there may be many Jews who didn't convert? Maybe even many Jews who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, to whom the greatest moment in Jewish history in 2,000 years doesn't mean a thing. One can be a very nice, good Jew and be a blank in terms of understanding what has taken place. What has taken place, and that's what we're going to deal with during the course of the next half an hour, 45 minutes. According to the Sharei Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the great Rishonim, there is a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment in the Torah, the Yidbonenu Chazdei Hashem, to think about, to ponder, to meditate, and understand God's great outpouring of goodness to His people. Both on the individual level, to me, I have to be thankful. And we say it time and time again. And we also have to ponder and meditate and appreciate and understand God's outpouring of His goodness and His chesed to the Jewish people. That's a mitzvah asay. It's a positive commandment. And he goes on to say that anybody who does not do it has been mevatel mitzvah asay. And people can walk around on Yom Yerushalayim as though nothing happened. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And there are even those who see this as an act of great piety. I'm sure there isn't a single Mark David Schleifer in this room. I have the feeling that you know. You've been taught and you are being taught and you're being exposed to the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, what he has done for the Jewish people in this generation. So I'm going to take you through, you know, my great Rebbe. Everybody has a Rebbe. One of my real great Rebbes is called Rashi. For that matter, Rashi is not only my Rebbe, I think Rashi is everybody's Rebbe. I want to begin with a Rashi in last week's Sedra. When you meditate, when you think about the Rashi, it'll blow your mind. In middle of the Tochacha, in Parshat Bechukotai, is the Tochacha. A terrible, terrible list of curses that will befall the Jewish people if, God forbid, we do not go in the path of Torah and Mitzvahs. But in the middle, it's unbelievable, right in the middle of it all, V'hashimot yaniyat ha'aretz, God says, I'm going to make the land desolate. V'shamamu aleha oyeveichem hayoshim bo, your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. Your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. And Rashi makes the great comment, Zum midotov l'Yisrael, here is a good measure, God. The Ramban uses it as Besora Tovel Yisrael. In middle of the Tochacha, there's good news. You know what the good news is? Shelo yimtzu ha'oivim nachas ruach va'artzom. The enemy who comes into Eretz Yisrael will never find contentment. Shetehei shomeima miyoshveha. The land is going to be desolate of inhabitants. There was once, for about a half a second, I thought to myself, is it possible that at any time in his life, Rashi got up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, thinking, they, maybe in 100 years from now, you understand, the Japanese are going to come to Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to start plowing and planting. There will be sonis and toshibas growing from every tree. And maybe he made a mistake. He made a statement that the land will always be desolate. After the split second of thought, I said, oh, no, no, no. Rashi wrote that comment. He never, ever looked back again. And he knew that that's exactly what will happen. And do you know what position we are in? 900 years after Rashi, you know what we can say? Rashi was right. No people ever were able to settle the land. Neither the Crusaders nor the Muslims. Nobody ever made it in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael never gave out its fruit and its abundance for any people. Nobody. What an unbelievable statement. And we're at the other end of history, and we can say, you know, it's true. The Ramban, I had talked about the Ramban. The Ramban arrived in Eretz Yisrael in 1267. You know what he found in 1267? He came to Yerushalayim. There were two Jewish families living in Yerushalayim. Two. The city was absolute ruins. And he wrote then, and he writes it in his parish in Chumash, where the sanctity is greater, the desolation is greater. Yerushalayim is the holiest of all places, the desolation. I imagine, if I could just walk with the Ramban through the streets of Yerushalayim, I'd bring him to the Kotel. He would see Chasdei Hashem. He would see it. And we can bear testimony. Nobody ever made it. There was never a people indigenous to the land. Anybody who says that, it's a lie. No people ever made it. And those non-Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael only started coming after Jews began to return. Only then did the land begin to respond. What an awesome Rashi. What an awesome Rashi. And we are able to confirm that Rashi was absolutely right. Rashi MS, the Torah MS, the promise of the Rabbeinu Shalom is true. Let me take it to another Rashi. It's a Gemara and a Rashi. Gemara in Sanhedrin says the following. Honor Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says the following. Listen very carefully. Not so difficult, cult, you'll be able to remember. Rabbi Abba says, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days than this. Now, can you understand? He's going to tell us what's an indication that we are in a period of keitz that's megula, that's revealed, like it's the end. The end may take, I don't know how long, but that we've moved into a new period in history. And all Rabbi Abba does in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Oy, my students, the moment I say Yechezkel, they know exactly what I'm going to say. Yechezkel says, Va'atem hore Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Anpechem titenu, give out your branches, Ufer yichem tisu, and carry your fruit, La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their return is coming close. And Rashi says, when Eretz Yisrael gives out food in abundance, you know this is a new period in history. It's the case. Do you understand that 100 years ago, Eretz Yisrael could not provide for any kind of population? Do you know what's happened to this country, this Eretz Yisrael, in the last 100 years, the last 50 years? I learned in Eretz Yisrael in 1955. I suspect none of you were born. That means all of you here. You were. I learned in Eretz Yisrael in 1955. Now, I want you to know, in 1955, we were living on tomatoes. We were living on tomatoes, some cucumbers, 2 eggs a week, and about an ounce or two of meat. And you know, we survived, by the way. We survived. We were healthy. We were happy. We may even have been healthier than all the junk food that people eat today. And the first apples came onto the market in 1955. There hadn't been an apple in Eretz Yisrael, most probably, since Shlomo HaMelech wrote about apples in Shir HaShirim, the first apples. And I'm afraid to say, as an American, I took a look at this apple. It was a poor excuse for an apple. I didn't say anything. I didn't want my poor Israeli fellow Yeshiva Racham to feel bad, but that wasn't an apple. Today, the unusual and unique apples, Granny Smith. Do you know how's a Granny Smith? Delicious. You have everything. The fruits of Eretz Yisrael are a clear indication of Yad Hashem Hashgacha Pratis. Do any of you know what Shuk Machne Yehuda is? What's Shuk Machne Yehuda? The big fruit and vegetable market in Yerushalayim. So there was somebody who once said a great word. Me. If you want to talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. Atem Hore Yisrael, Antechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisu. A land that's able to give out such great fruit, and it didn't do it for 1900 years. Eretz Yisrael responded to no one, except when Jews began to work the land. These are miracles. This was clearly ordained in Torah. You don't have to be a genius to see this. All you have to do is have your eyes open and get any Mark David Schleifer nonsense out of your system. Fruits and vegetables in Eretz Yisrael are a divine, an act of the Rabbein Shem. I'll tell you, I think I predicted the downfall of the Soviet Empire. You know, I think I'm a relic. They don't even know about the Soviet Empire. You know what the Soviet Empire was? Huh? Yeah? Okay. You know, I don't know. I begin to lose track of time. I went to Russia in December of 1983. Now, I just want you to know, we're not talking about people who get on planes here all the time, all Jews are going in and out of Russia. I went there when it was dangerous. I went there as a hero, you understand. This was 007 who was being sent from Eretz Yisrael to do undercover work in Russia. You're not looking at just some rabbi in Harnov. Well, that was a blowout. They caught me as I came into the country. From passport control, they took me to one of those rooms, you know, with one bulb hanging over there. And they grilled me that I survived that, you should know. I knew my heart was in good shape. Anyway, spent 2 weeks saying shiurim to refuseniks and dissidents. And on the way out, we left all the food. I went with Rabbi Galinsky, who was the one who stood at the head of the Yeshivat Shalvim. On the way out, we left the country hungry, and we went out on an airflat plane. You know, you couldn't order Bornstein's Glatt Kosher OU Mahadrin on airflat in those days, unless you wanted to be shot at or before dawn. Anyway, we come out and we're so much hungry. It's terrible. We're very hungry. And then they bring out the dessert. And I see from the distance, it's fruit. it comes closer, it looks like apples. They brought the apples, put it on our plate. I said, I don't believe it. This is the great superpower that was able to destroy the whole world 10 times over. They couldn't produce a fashlugina apple. The apple was worse than an Israeli 1955 apple. So I told Rabbi Galinsky, if this superpower can't produce a decent apple, they're finished. From my mouth to God's ear. So you should know that if you open up your eyes, you see all around you the Yad Hashem. All around you the Yad Hashem. By the way, that pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem Hore Yisrael, Amtechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisu, La'ami Yisrael, Ki Kervu Lavo, is a pasuk you should know. And I'll tell you why you should know it. Because it appears one other place in Shas. You daven 3 times a day, Shmona Esrei? 2 times. Alright? Whatever, halacha, whatever it is. One. You daven Shmona Esrei? The Gemara in Megillah gives the order of the brachas in Shmona Esrei. They follow an order. The bracha of Baruch Aleinu. What bracha is that? What does that talk about? The bracha of Baruch Aleinu is a bracha that Eretz Yisrael will produce fruits and vegetables. Grains. What's the bracha that comes after it? Tekar v'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu. It's the bracha of kibbutz goyos, the ingathering of the exiles. So the Gemara says, do you know why Baruch Aleinu, the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, precedes the bracha of kibbutz goyos? Because the land is going to know when Jews are on the way back. And therefore the land is going to begin to produce. First there will be Baruch Aleinu, Va'atem Hore Yisrael. Well, I'll say it enough times, you'll know it, you'll walk out of here, you'll be talking, saying it all the time. Atem Hore Yisrael, Amtechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisu, La'ami Yisrael, Ki Kervu Lavo. There's another Rashi. And here, I think I'm going to tell you a Rashi that is the best kept secret in Chumash. Best kept secret. At the end of Parshas Bo, V'hoya, ki yiviyacho, listen very carefully, V'hoya ki yiviyacho Hashem el Eretz Haknani, happens to be one of the parshot of Tfilin, V'hoya ki yiviyacho Hashem el Eretz Haknani, God will bring you to the land of the Knani, Kashen Nishbalacha, as he swore to you, V'la avotecha, unetana loch, and he will give the land to you. Now Rashi is troubled by the fact that the last 2 words in the pasuk in the Tanalach, I mean, are unnecessary because it says he'll bring you to the land that he swore to your fathers to give to you. So that he did that. Why does it say in the Tanalach? Hang on, just listen. Every day of your life. You have to feel as though today is the day that the Rebbeinu Shem gave you the great gift of Eretz Yisrael. It shall not be in your eyes ki yerushas avos, like something you inherited that doesn't, I didn't put in any effort, I didn't get anything. Do you understand? Every day you're supposed to feel as though this is today, the Rebbeinu Shem gave me the great gift. Is that a sense of exhilaration, a sense of joy? You know what everybody does know? That there are twice that Rashi says in Sefer Dvarim about Torah. Vehei beinecho, every day should be kechadoshim, new. You have to approach Torah every day. I don't know how many people are aware of the fact that Rashi says you're supposed to look at Eretz Yisrael. Rebbeinu shel olam, what a great gift you gave to me. How many of us walk around feeling like that? You can start right now. You have to understand, we're the generation to whom the Rebbeinu Shem gave Eretz Yisrael. And if we're the generation to whom the Rebbeinu Shem gave Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael has to be a value in our life. I have a member of my shul. Oh God, a member of my shul came, He was at an engagement party of family in New York. I don't want to say exactly what community in New York. You won't guess. Anyway, so he spoke at the Shevibra, at the Vort, and he wished the couple that in Yitz Hashem they should someday live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Kala says, "Oh no, I don't want to live there." He went out of his mind. He told it to me in shul. I nearly collapsed. Huh? And this is a Fruma girl, went to Fruma schools. Oh no, I don't want to live there. At a convention of rabbis once, something got me upset. It doesn't take too much to get me upset, but there's something that got me upset. And I said, there's a famous Gemara. Gemara, you should know this Gemara. Amar Shimon ben Yochai, listen, it's we're still, the embers of Lag BaOmer are still burning all over Eretz Yisrael. Not true. You know, Eretz Yisrael is just one big bonfire on Lag BaOmer. I remember that last week. Last week, I prayed with Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You've got to bring rain after Lag BaOmer to wash the country down. Now, you don't laugh. 4 days after Lag BaOmer, it poured. The day after, it poured. The day after, it poured. My kids just told me on Yom Yerushalayim there was a deluge. That's very rare, by the way. Between Pesach and Shavuos already, it stops raining. But I prayed that Eretz Yisrael should be clean until next winter. And it happened. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says the following: Sholosh Matanas Tovas are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people. V'chulam lo nitnu ela yidei yisurim, and all of them were given only with suffering. What does it mean, suffering? You have to work for it. It doesn't come easy. And even if it comes easy, you don't appreciate. That's what Rashi said here about Eretz Yisrael. It's not Yerusha Sovas. You didn't just get it. It didn't just fall into your hand. You have to put effort into it. What are the three gifts? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Now, can you ever imagine somebody saying, listen, Rabbeinu Shem, you know, oh, Torah is that's a great gift, you know. You know, I'm really not interested in gifts. Sony Matanis, Yechia, keep your Torah. Can you imagine somebody saying, Rabbeinu Shem, Olam Haba, oh God, Olam Haba, that's great, but you know, keep your, I don't need the gift, keep the gift. Nobody would ever say anything of the sort. But there's this feeling that you gave us a gift there. It's just, well, you know, let somebody else go. Let somebody else go. The great gift that was given to our generation is the gift of Eretz Yisrael. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is something that we have to think very, very carefully about it and decide that a goal and an objective in our lives should be ultimately to live in Eretz Yisrael, and the sooner the better. I'll tell you, this was written up once, but a few years ago, it was a Mitzoy Shabbos. We were coming back from someplace, my wife and I, and another couple, Rabbi Sandel and his wife. And I, this doesn't happen to me often, but it must have been Min HaShemayim. I had a craving for pizza at 11 o'clock Mitzoy Shabbos. I couldn't help it. And so we stopped at Center One. And so we sat down at a table, and three people are watching me eat one piece of pizza. All right. At the next table, there were five or six American yeshiva bachurim. And my wife says, hello, where are you from? All of a sudden, these fellas, somebody's interested in them. Oh, this one's from here and that's from there. All of a sudden, the conversation begins. I know what's going to happen. I know what's coming. I know her so well, I know exactly what's going to happen. After she finds out where each one learns and where they all come from, then it happens. I turn away. I can't listen. She says, do any of you plan on living in Eretz Yisrael? There's a silence. All right, there, now it begins. Not a real fun begins. No. The lifestyle. What do you mean, the lifestyle? All right, so now all the five chachumim over there have to figure out what's wrong with the lifestyle. So one of them says, the children don't have toys. I mean, we looked at him like he's crazy. I told him, we'll take you to all of our grandchildren. We can open up a Toys R Us at every one of their homes. All right, that one didn't go over too well. Then all the nonsense that started coming, it's different here, it's this, it's that, and one of them I really liked, one of them says, it's awesome to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to live there. Oh, God. So, of course, we listed all the Gedolei Yisrael, not including me, but all the others who live in Eretz Yisrael. And you didn't learn the Rambam. The Chazon Ish says in one line, Ukvar Hukra Halacha v'Halacha has already been decided, Kedas HaRambam v'HaRambam, that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Before I went on Aliyah 26 years ago, I spoke to Rav Yankov Kamenetsky, Zechet Tzadik Levrocha, and Rav Yankov told me, Rav Sholem, I hold it's a mitzvah today like it always was to live in Eretz Yisrael, and if I could, I would go to the airport right now and get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael, but I can't. And his reasons were very, very legitimate. I like the apocryphal story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, some guy from living in Chutz Laretz, went through all of the halachic literature about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is it a mitzvah? Is it the Oraisa? Is it the Rabbanon? Is it mitzvah chiyuvis? Mitzvah kiyumis? Is it an Isser? Is it an Aveira? And he decided he's coming. He's going to come to talk with the Gadol Hador, the great Posek Rav Shlomo Zalman. He made an appointment from Chutz Laretz. The great day comes. He makes it in. Dude goes walking up the steps to, a lot of steps walking up to Rav Shlomo Zalman's apartment. He comes in and he starts pouring out all of that Torah to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was a very, an Edel Yid. How do you say an Edel Yid in English? A delicate soul, a neshama kedosha tahura. And he says to this big London over there, I'll say it in Yiddish, then I'll translate, don't worry. Sinisht vichtig. It's not important. A guy he's been preparing for months with it. What does Rashida mean? Sinisht vichtig. It's not important. This guy's deflated. What's going to happen? So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman tells him, it makes no difference. Mitzvah, the Oraisa, the Rabbanon, open up a Chumash. Look on any page, and you will know that Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that the Jewish people should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the only thing that's important. End of conversation. But wait, we're still in the pizza place, right? If I get off track, you better get me back. We're at the pizza place. Then comes, after these poor, the pizza parlor five are trying to find reasons why they don't plan on living in Eretz Yisrael. Finally, one guy says it, and all of them agree. He looks at me my wife, indignantly. And he says, and I quote, do you know that in this country you have to press a button and wait half an hour till you get hot water for a shower? You expect me to live here? And all the other fellas over there, yeah, that's right. Okay. Don't start out with my wife. That guy started out with my wife. So she tells him, if for 120 years you're going to be standing up before the bar of heavenly justice, and God is going to boom out and say, why didn't you live in my land? Are you really going to tell God? God, do you know you had to press a button and wait half an hour to get hot water? You think that's going to go over well? The Pizza Parlor 5 were finished. They were wiped out. None of them had considered the possibility that maybe that's the place where we should be. Maybe that's the place. I tell you, you have to have antenna. I'm just going to, I can keep going for a long time. I'm just going to tell you one story. And we'll end with that. The most difficult decision I made in my life was the decision to go on Aliyah. It was November of 1981. I had been offered a job in Eretz Yisrael. It was down to the wire. The next day I had to notify Eretz Yisrael, am I taking the job or am I not taking the job? In other words, after preaching for about 25 years Aliyah, I was faced with put up or shut up. This is the moment of truth, gold. And it was a very difficult decision. I don't underestimate the difficulty of the decision. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, I lived on Colonnade Road in West Hempstead. Beautiful, beautiful tree-lined street. Now, about five houses up, there was a family that had moved in some years earlier, Balei Tshuva. We became very, very close. And one day they came to me and they said, Rabbi, we're going on Aliyah. I said, what? I said, you know, Rabbi, we've been listening to the Torah reading every Shabbos. You know, it sounded like Shades of Shlomo Zalman. And, you know, we listen to the Torah reading, and where are you going to Torah? It's all Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. So we're going on Aliyah. They had a dog. They had a dog called Charlie. I don't like dogs. But Charlie was a collie, nose always running. And he got to know the rabbi. Not only got to know the rabbi, he had derech eretz for the rabbi. You know, and I'd walk out of the house and Charlie would be on the block. He'd come running toward me and snuggle in under my arm. I'd, of course, first opportunity, I'd run back into the house and wash my hands with peroxide. Anyway, they decided to go on Aliyah and they're leaving Charlie behind with foster parents on the block were taking care of Charlie. Now, it was my minhag for years. If it wasn't too cold and it wasn't raining, I'd always go for a walk at night, think over a shir, think over a drasha, you know. And I'd usually meet Charlie as they took him out for a walk, and Charlie would come and we'd snuggle and I'd pat him and he'd feel good. Like I was in loco parentis, I reminded him of his real parents who are now in Eretz Yisrael. This night, by morning, I have to notify Eretz Yisrael if I'm taking the job. Are we going on Aliyah or not? The whole family was in favor, but ultimately, I'm supposed to be the breadwinner. I have to make the decision. So I go out for my walk, 11 o'clock at night. Vayehi. Charlie's foster parents have him out on the street, and Charlie comes running toward me. And they say, Rabbi, you won't believe it. We got a call today. They purchased a ticket for Charlie. Charlie's going on Aliyah. That dog, I said, is going to go on Aliyah. And I won't. I went into the house. I told my wife and family, we're going on Aliyah. If Charlie can go, we can go. Now, I'll tell you, if there's a heaven for dogs, Charlie, Olav HaSholem, Zochor LaTov, Charlie is there. You know what Charlie means? I'll tell you what Charlie means. The Rebbe Shem has all sorts of ways of sending messages. The question is, are your antenna out in order to receive the messages? I mean, I don't even mind if you will someday say that I was your Charlie. Maybe you started thinking about it today. Maybe something your teachers, your Rebbeim, something you have to put on the agenda. You have to make it a goal in life. You have to make it a goal in life. The title of this year was Teddy Roosevelt and Eretz Yisrael. What's Teddy Roosevelt have to do with Eretz Yisrael? Oh boy, he has everything to do with Eretz Yisrael. One day my wife is sitting at the computer and she comes up with a great work by Teddy Roosevelt. So she prints it out. Now, what do you, and enlarges it. What do you do with something important? Where do you put it? On the fridge? Did you say, that's what you said, you're right. She puts it up on the fridge. It remains there for years until I finally learn it. Teddy Roosevelt once said, anyone who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. I'll repeat it again. Remember Teddy Roosevelt. He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. The passion of our time is a Rebbeinu who gave a great gift of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. We have the opportunity that 1900 years Jews could only dream about and could never realize it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. That has to become the passion of your lives. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't worry about the lifestyle. Don't worry about the lifestyle. My wife and I have been here already 4 days and we're trying to figure out what is there that we can buy in Los Angeles that we don't have at home. Nothing. And even if there would be something, and when we first moved there it was so, there was a great deal that was not available. You know what you have to learn in life? Material things don't make the difference. The ability to be flexible, to be able to undertake change, to be able to go ahead and do what's right and what's Jewishly right today. Every Jew has to make it a goal ultimately. The sooner the better. Eretz Yisrael. Shechina is there. That's where Jewish history is being written. It should come as no surprise to you. It's not being written in Los Angeles. It's being written in Eretz Yisrael. And you can become part of that great Jewish adventure. And in Yitz Hashem, I hope that you will all be Zeicha. You will all be Zeicha someday. Sooner the better. Shabbat shalom.
I want to thank Rabbi Gold for his time and for the...